ideas. There's so many ideas. And people thought, you know, when somebody launches a new business, a new concept, a new kind of mop or a new kind of steak knife or a new kind of bride tongs, you go, I thought of that. I had the idea. That was my great idea. I had it 5 years ago. But no idea is worth anything until it's implemented. And, of course, so much about an idea when it's implemented is it about when it's implemented. If you'd created Microsoft in 1800, it would have been pointless. There'd be no electricity and no networks. But it's all about timing often.
Timing is certainly one of those critical ingredients. I put it down to sort of three that have to come together for it to work. And so, yes, tonight we're looking at great ideas that flopped. Not because they weren't great ideas. We acknowledge that they were. But their timing or the actual offering wasn't quite there. And starting with something kind of frivolous, you might have thought, well, fidget spinners. That would have been a great one. Except they're 20 years old.
No.
Yeah. 20 years ago, one Catherine Hittinger came up with the idea of making a fidget spinner, and nothing happened. Not even after the patent expired in 2005, which some people say, ha, that was the reason why everybody picked up on it. Nope, it still just wasn't ready for it. So yeah, let's look at those three things. So the idea is certainly a big one. Then there is the actual product you create from it and the features that it may have, and then the timing. And the big thing about the timing is that it can't be that revolutionary, even though people love revolutionary ideas.
Yes.
So the notion of something being completely outside of your frame of reference, Microsoft in 1800, that's going to fail. But something that seems like, the adjacent possible, recall that sort of line, it needs to be something that you can just imagine would be great to have, but you don't have right now. Like a car that will drive itself. Mm-hmm. Now we're sort of ready for that because there's too much traffic and you really have other things to do, like sitting on your phone and typing things into Facebook or Instagram. But previously, no, driving a car is exactly what you wanted to do. So that's the kind of theoretical start, even though we have such phrases as there is nothing so powerful as an idea whose time has come. Build a better mousetrap and the world will beat a pathway to your door. I went to have a look. Mm-hmm. There are 4,400 patents for mousetraps in the US.
How many work?
I would imagine just that one. And even then, it's sort of like 50-50 how well it works. So it's not just about the great idea when you do it. And so I've got a couple of examples here to try and illustrate some of those. Facebook, undoubtedly a massively successful company. I mean, strictly speaking, if this was a country, it would be the largest one in the world. Over 2 billion users using that every single month. But it wasn't the first. There were things like Friendster and MySpace that came before it. And the original one was called 6degrees.com. You can still visit the actual website. It's not doing anything. And it was based on the notion that everybody has these 6 degrees of
separation.
Separation between all of us. But it was in 1997. Nobody even went onto the internet, really, in 1997. You were more likely to give out a business card than your online profile, so you couldn't meet anybody. It was kind of a dead in the water, until much later when Mark Zuckerberg decided to create his one and everybody was ready for it. At universities, already in the space, happy to try and connect and do those sorts of things. eBay, Amazon, Alibaba, we know those are sort of everyday names. Shop Direct, you remember them?
No.
Well, they're still around. They're selling stuff in the UK, but they were the first to actually make an e-commerce sale. 1994, the 11th of August. So pretty much just an anniversary right here. A CD, Sting's 10 Summoners Tales. If you ever want an arbitrary piece of pub quiz trivia, that was it. That was the first thing legitimately sold via e-commerce on the internet. But Shop Direct, they didn't, you know, they were busy building the market. They're trying to get people used to doing this stuff, so they weren't capitalizing on it. They were just still trying to create it. Along came those other guys, and they could pick it all up.
Wasn't it Gladwell who said that there's a period of about 5 or 6 years during which Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and a bunch of other people were born? And had they been born 5 years earlier or 5 years later, we wouldn't know Steve Jobs and people like him. They would have done other great stuff, but Steve Jobs wouldn't have done Apple, and you wouldn't have had Microsoft being created by Bill Gates in that same form, because simply they were at a place in time with their particular brand of technology that capitalized on a movement at a moment in time.
You're so right. In fact, the short story for Bill Gates was he was a software programmer.
Yeah.
In fact, he was a hacker. He was really quite ahead of his game. IBM had built this new PC system, and they came to him looking for some software. They weren't happy with what they had. He basically pointed in the direction of somebody else's software. And he said, I'll tell you what we do. I will fix this up for you, and I will sell it to you for a once-off fee. So IBM got Microsoft operating system once-off they could use forever they wanted. But he kept the software. And that was when the nerds sort of took over, because nobody thought that that would be a ridiculously bad idea. It's right up there with George Lucas getting at the time the movie studio to say, if you take a reduction in the money we're going to pay you for Star Wars, you can keep the merchandising sort of part of it. And Steve Jobs himself, you'd think, well, the defining product, I would say, this century is the iPhone. And it's probably, again, I would argue, the thing, the device that has triggered the fourth industrial revolution.
I agree.
There is no way we can put more emphasis to say that is the defining product of all time. Yet if it wasn't for a thing called the HTC Wallaby, it would never have existed. Have you ever heard of the HTC Wallaby?
Nope. I've heard of HTC, but was the Wallaby a device that was created by HTC upon which Steve Jobs built his understanding of the potential of having keyless phones and touchscreen technology?
Right on the money. The iPhone was the adjacent possible for the HTC Wallaby. It was more than just a phone that could make calls. It had a touchscreen. It could connect to the internet. And you could check your email. For all intents and purposes, that's a real smartphone. But it was so slow. Like, really slow.
When last did you try the first iPhone?
Oh, no question. That's now obsolete. But there's nothing a new iPhone really does that the old one doesn't do. It just does it so much faster.
Yeah.
Okay, the Wallaby did have one very significant drawback, I must admit. If your battery ever ran flat, all your data would be lost. Thankfully, you couldn't store much on it, that wasn't too bad. But that was it. And it was crazy expensive. It was just not ready for it. That was in 2002. 5 years later only, Steve Jobs walks out on the stage. One more thing, the iPhone. And it changes the world. Google Glass is probably a more contemporary one. You think, oh, but that definitely flopped. There's nothing coming from that, right? Well, it did kind of go quiet. It's back in the market from July this year, sold particularly to companies manufacturing, for those working that need to use their hands, assembly lines, high-tech sort of spaces. They can now reference all sorts of things via the glass. So it's back in the mix. HoloLens, Microsoft's version of it, very likely to work at some point. It's still this sort of hype cycle element where people aren't quite sure if it's going to work or not, but it will work. But you'd kind of imagine, well, those are all recent. They're sort of like high-tech now. Well, the principal example I want to give you is from 1937. And it comes from the guy who we can thank for creating the modern supermarket, from Memphis, of all places. The Piggly Wiggly was the first supermarket that featured aisles that you could walk down and select your own products. So you went to a checkout and then paid.
Because beforehand, everything was behind a counter, and there was a shopkeeper, and you said, I'd like a box of tea, please. And you turn around and get your box of tea and put it on the counter. And you said, I'd like some coffee as well, please. And turn around and get some coffee. And that service model, the general dealer concept with which we're familiar in South Africa, of a certain age, perhaps, or the old corner cafe concept where the chappies were behind the counter, you weren't allowed to help yourself. It's that sort of idea. That's how all shops worked until Piggly Wiggly.
And Piggly Wiggly's idea was, he said, if I can put all the stuff on the shelves and have people go and fetch it themselves, I only need a few people at the end, not people running backwards and forwards and leaving long queues. And he could cut the prices of the products. And so it has become, you know, the way people shop. But he lost all of that. He did a bit of a gamble trying to corner the market on Wall Street and lost all of his thousands and thousands of shops, and so started a new one. Kadoozle, he called this thing. And it was so ahead of its time, it's even now considered revolutionary. He wanted to have an autonomous supermarket, i.e. no people needed to do your shopping. You'd walk in, you'd be given this sort of funny key thing with a little bit of tape on it, and any product you wanted would have a slot, and you'd stick the key in there. It'll make a little punch on the piece of tape or card that you have, and then you walk to the checkout. The checkout can read the card. It would then go and have the guys pack what you want, so they simply give you the packed, finished thing, and tally up your bill and say, this is what you owe.
That's internet shopping without having to go to the shops.
Yeah, that does sound familiar, doesn't it? Well, December 2016, Amazon Go launches. You walk into a store. It can detect you by the phone and the app that you have with your Amazon account. You walk in, you pick up what you want, and you walk out. Now, some people have been arguing that's called shoplifting, and it's been around for a long time. and Alibaba's got the Tao, Tao Cafe, which they launched just in July this year. And that just illustrates, you know, you can have all of the best ideas in the world, but if you really want to be unusually successful, make sure you match your product with the timing.
Get the timing right. It's pointless having the very best idea in the world if you get the timing wrong. Colin Cullis with Business Unusual on a Wednesday night.